Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Samantha Dawn Titsilo. Welcome, everybody, to Survive with Jobs, a podcast brought to you by
Broadway World.
Exactly.
Jason, I can't believe it's basically July.
Wild,
isn't
right?
That's crazy.
The last day of Pride Month, even though we celebrate Pride year-round in these blocks, but the official. It's actually funny because Bridgeport actually has their Pride in July. Which I think
really?
Is really cool. Yeah, because they want to, like, they're like, why should everything just be in one month?
Right.
When, like, you should be prideful all year round. So
totally. You know, It's funny. I actually just met these people. So I'm going to talk about, I saw this amazing concert with Shoshana Bean, so intimate, and I'll talk about it in a little bit. But at the concert, Ben and I hate when I talk about Ben because he never listens. But Ben and I went to this concert. We met these guys from Orlando, and one of the guys was like on the board of Orlando Pride, and it's not until November.
Oh yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Pride all year round, baby.
I think a couple other places do that too. Like they spread it out, right? Because like, why have everything in one month? Which is, I mean, it's a fun month, right? But it's like be prideful year round.
Yeah.
Especially in Florida, when it's like you need it year round over there.
Yikes. Yikes.
Which is a good transition into, I feel like this is a common thing. We're always talking about the state of our country, of our world. And yeah, the Supreme Court failed this country.
Yeah, this one really hurt me. Obviously, as most people, it did. I just am like a little speechless and sad and scared. I'm so scared for everyone, not just women, for every single person. I'm scared for the people who also don't think it's a big deal. Also, like, who are you? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't think I'm saying anything right now because I'm just so unbelievably mind blown by it. And you know, when the rumors, there weren't rumors because here we are, but like when the news first broke that this was even on the table, I was like, no way. Like, that's not real. That's like the news, fake news. Like, because I got brainwashed by everyone saying fake news. I'm like, there's no way that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I know.
And it happened.
It happened. I mean,
it happened.
Yeah, I don't know how people are okay with going backwards, you know, and I think this is not just a female problem, even though of course it is. I'm not trying to like take away from how big of an issue it is, but I think it's the start, right? I think allowing this to happen is setting precedent for other rights to be taken away. So I think, and I keep saying it this whole time, is like people have to pay attention because like this, they've been working on this for years, right? And it finally has happened. You know, this is 50 years in the making. It got ramped up with the last failure of a president, but like they've been working on this crap for literally decades, and it happened. And I was a little bit naive too. I was like, the Democrats will figure it out and they'll stop this. And here we are. So
You know, I saw an interesting video that Laverne Cox posted, if everyone goes and looks at her Instagram, she posted this video of these girls at a protest saying, like, as soon as this decision was made, these girls got texts from Biden's, like, people saying, like, donate to our campaign now, like, we'll fix this. And they're like, no, like, what do you, you've had the Democratic Party, every party has had so much time to turn this into a law, and you haven't. So no, I'm not donating to your campaign. This is not political. This is not about the election. Yes, it's important to vote. Yes, everyone should vote, but this is so far past that. It's politics in general that's like, we're people, we're humans, we're trying to live. Like, no, we're not donating to your campaign. You haven't done anything. You could have done something as a party all these years to make this not happen, and you didn't. So that will bring me to my transition to say, like, donate not to politicians at this time, donate to organizations. You know, I've been reading a lot of articles saying, like, don't donate to Planned Parenthood. Like, they're good. They have funding. Donate to, like, your local clinics. AOC posted something interesting, sending everyone to AOC's Instagram as well. Isn't it silly that I'm, like, sending everyone to Instagram, because that's where we function as people?
Yeah. I mean, our generation.
Yes. PlanCPills.org is a way for women in these states that are banning abortion to still have access. And this pill, you can go into the doctor after you take this pill and say you're having a miscarriage, and there's no way for them to tell that it's not, and then you can get the medical help that you need. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm not making sense, because I'm just so
you're making
numb
sense.
I'm so numb to this, and I'm so sad, and like, yes, I will be fine, because I live in New York and Connecticut and all these blue states surrounding us. So, like, yes, me, most of my friends, like, hopefully, you know, let's not, like, say that, because who knows what's going to happen. Yeah. But I don't care if I'm fine. Like, that doesn't matter. Like, I said to my mom, I said, how are we the United States of America if we're not united? If we're not all doing the same thing, if we're not all giving the same rights. So it doesn't matter that, like, ooh, New York is fine, like, we're going to be fine. No, it doesn't. Because are we the United States? Like, are we each going to, are the states going to now act as their own countries with their own rights and their own laws? It makes no sense. What is happening?
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think that's the most, I agree with everything you said, co-sign everything you just said, preaching. Preacher Tootsilo over there, Preacher Sammy Toots, Pastor Sammy Toots. But I just wanted to also add in that, I lost it because I made a joke and now I lost it.
It's okay.
No, it's all right. No, but I mean, yes, we're going to be fine because we live in these blue states, right? But the thing is, if Republicans win, and if we're trying to get to a political podcast, I listen to a lot of political podcasts, so this is like my jam. But you know, if they win, right? If they somehow take over the House and the Senate, they can actually do what the Democrats didn't do and actually make a law that's federally bans abortion. So we might not be fine. You know, that's the scary thing. That's the scary thing that can happen.
Right.
And we're living in this time where, like, you know, this country, which I don't understand, and I don't want to go too much into it because this is not a political podcast.
Right. I'm going to talk about Shauna Bean soon.
Yeah. But this country was founded on a separation of church and state, and they're passing all these laws that are dictating what Catholic churches want, right? And it's mind-blowing. It's like, if you go back, you always want to go back to, you'll talk about, like, make America great again, and you're going back to the past, but, like, the foundation of this country was built on separation of church and state. So, like, why does your religion get to dictate my life? Why do we have to have prayer in school, which you just passed, right? Which are, like, our teachers can pray in classes, and you can why does New York have to have open carry, not open carry, but you can carry weapons now. You can carry guns now. Like, it's insane. We're going to this crazy, and I don't like to use that word, but it's a place that we should all be worried about. We all need to really pay attention, y'all. Like, stuff is happening, and they're doing it legally, and they're doing it right in front of us, right? Because they're going by the laws, but the people who are making the laws are these freaking Republican judges that were all passed. A lot of them were passed during the last administration. So pay attention, and It's scary. It's very scary. I was crying on Friday. I could not believe that. I woke up so happy. It was a great day. And then 10:30 when that news dropped, I was like, wow.
I had to go to a wedding. I had to pretend I didn't know so I could be present for one of my good friends on her wedding day. Everyone was like, do not tell her, because she was off her phone because she was being present. Do not tell her. And we didn't, because you know what? We couldn't. It sucks. Yeah. It's hard.
Anyway, that was T's birthday too. Our friend T. Happy belated birthday, T. Ashley. Yeah.
Yeah. Author T. Ashley. I think episode 6.
Mm-hmm. That was her birthday. Yeah, wild. And so, I had also a link I want to share before we transition.
Yes,
it was abortionfunds.org. They have a listing of state by state of where you can, if you want to donate to local organizations, like Samantha was saying, you can find local organizations in your state. Or if you want to, you know, if you live in a bluer state and you want to donate to a red state to help people there, because, you know, like you were saying, we're going to be fine in these states, but like people in these other states that are red, who are made up of like, you know, black and brown women and female identifying women, aren't always going to be safe. They're the most affected by this shit. So if you can donate to other communities as well, that's great too.
Yes.
And we got to stay strong, y'all. I know it's like, it's sad and we got to be vigilant and pay attention, but you know, there is an act of joy is also resistance. So let's remember that as well.
Talking about me being Preacher Titzlow, we got Preacher Coombs over there as well. Okay.
No, I just listen to a lot of shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard and it's sad, and we could talk about this for an hour and a half, but
we can talk about this for days.
What
survival jobs after dark?
Yeah, ooh, we should do it, a series. You know, I think what we turn to a lot and what saves us a lot is art, and so we're grateful for this podcast and artists, and that we can talk to artists and talk about performing and passion. And today we have a great guest, but before we talk about our guest, I want to give a huge shout out to Shoshana Bean, who is doing a small residency at Pebble Bar, which is in 30 Rock. You guys should look it up. It's really cool. I think Pete Davidson owns it or is like an investor in it. It was super cool. So talking about Ben again, he's such a Shoshana Bean fan. And when she announced this residency, he like got tickets right away. When I tell you, we were like in Shoshana Bean's living room, there were 35 people. It was like couches. It was super small and intimate. And she is such a force. And her voice is so buttery and velvety. And she just did 8 shows a week and then came to her living room, I'm calling it, because it was so small and intimate, and just sang and riffed and sang and belted. And it was so beautiful to sit there with her and just forget what's going on and listen to her voice. And Billy Crystal was right there as well, and I was like, hey, Billy Crystal, like, that's amazing. You know, because they're in Mr. Saturday Night together, so shout out to Shoshana Bean. I would tell y'all her. Sorry, oh my god, I love her. I would tell y'all a really funny story, but it's fully sold out. Yes, tell
of course it's sold out. 30
it's fully
seats.
Sold out 30 years.
I love her. I love Shoshana Bean. She was in a production of Godspell that me and my friends had the CD, and we killed it. She sang "Oh Bless the Lord My Soul." We played it every day. Like, we would drive around in the car singing it. Anyway, long story short, I got my first car when I was 18, and it was this big green like Dodge Intrepid, but I named it after Shoshana because she was in Wicked at the time as Elphaba. So it was like a big green car, and not that she's big in size, I mean like her voice,
that's so
big.
Good.
So my first car was Shoshana, after Shoshana Bean.
Shout out to Shoshana Bean and shout out to your first car.
Yeah.
I also saw her as Elphaba and didn't even know, like, I was being so blessed at the time because I was 12.
Oh, I didn't
or
see
whatever,
her,
how old I was.
She's a force, like you said. She has one of the best voices. I saw her in Songs for New World before the pandemic.
Oh,
my goodness.
So blessed.
I was blessed. And Michael Kilgore, too, wasn't it? So, oof. Bye. I was double blessed.
Good night. Good night.
It was revelation. Oh, wow. Anyway, we should talk about Christian, who we love.
Yes. So we are on a Pretty Women kick.
Yes,
with the Pretty Women tour. We're just bringing all the cast of Pretty Women onto the show. We love to see it. So Christian Brailsford, Jason, am I saying the last name right? I don't want to.
You are, yeah.
He's the best. I don't want to butcher anything.
He really is. He's great.
He's great. You know, I feel like we are so lucky with the guests that we have come on who mm-hmm. are so open and kind and share so much wisdom. He, though, like, it's so beautiful to hear people's journeys. Like, I was here for listening to him. You guys will hear when the transition comes on to the interview. Hello. Yeah. Okay. Like waking up at 3 a.m., like putting your name on a list, like the journey to then, you know, you look at people in their gigs right now and you're like, wow, like that's so great. Like they're on tour. They're like on Broadway. They're on TV. They're wherever they are. Mm-hmm. But the foundation and the journey to get there is so important. And I love his story and his hustle and he's great.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's so much. It's like, I think I saw a meme one time that had like, oh my gosh, an iceberg. And it was like the top of the iceberg was like, you know, the TV shows and the success and the money. But then underneath the iceberg, I mean, underneath the water, which is the rest of the iceberg, right? The big chunk of the iceberg is like the early mornings and the rejection and the constant callbacks and the money for headshots. And it's true. There's so much goes into it. Yeah. Yeah, and the negative bank account. Like, how many times have I overdrawn? I overdrew my freaking account. Yeah, you know, like, it's just all this goes into getting to like that one break that you can possibly get, right? And then and that break is different for everybody. You know, not everybody wants to. Like, we were talking to Gabby Beans, who's like, you know, she was very honored to be Tony nominated, but that wasn't her end goal. Her end goal was to be able to be a working artist every day. So everybody's journey, everyone's goals are different, but the work is still there. Which I think is cool. And Sam, I gotta say, when we recorded this episode, my voice was shot.
Oh yeah, it was.
I was like, it was even because me and Sam have a group, like a little Google chat, and I was like, writing, like, I don't think I can say the next question. It's too long for my voice. Like, say it.
We don't know what happened. It just got him. But you know what, guys?
It wasn't COVID, thank God. I took a test. I took two tests that day. I was
right
so
after,
nervous.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what is going on with me? Right and after. It was both negative. And so I just think maybe I'm just tired. But forgive the voice. It's I mean, Samantha liked it and Christian liked it, but
it was like sexy. It was definitely sexy.
Yeah.
But anyway, so let's tell you guys a little bit about Christian and then enjoy mm-hmm. the episode. Okay. Christian Brailsford. Before pursuing his performance career, Christian began his professional music journey as the director of choral activities at Plymouth White Marsh High School in Pennsylvania. He has performed around the world, including in Hong Kong in Disney's The Lion King as Scar, and additionally, he has performed in Japan, South Korea, China, and Singapore. Amazing. No big deal.
Right? Upon returning to the United States, Christian has performed in several off-Broadway musicals, such as Cleopatra, Oratorio for Living Things, and Songs of a Serpent. He recently joined the Broadway National Tour of Pretty Woman, where he's ecstatic to be playing the role of David Morris and understudying the role of Happy Man and Alfredo. And Christian's so nice, he wrote that he's excited for the opportunity to share his story on Survival Jobs with Samantha and Jason.
Hey.
And the cool thing is the tour, I didn't realize the tour was so long. It's literally going into 2023. Yeah. So right now they're in LA, right, until July 3rd. I just hit the mic, so I'm going to say it again. They're on tour till July 3rd in LA. And then they're going, you know, to other places in California and to Arizona and to Oklahoma. So like, check it out. Look at the website. We'll put it inside our show notes. And go check them out.
The show's so great. Yeah.
It is. It's fantastic. And
can I do a quick sidebar? Our past guest, Chris Caffaro, wasn't his name in Inventing Anna David Morse?
David Morse, yeah.
Isn't that funny? And now we have Christian playing David Morse.
Yeah.
Is that the exact same?
Then we had Chris Manuel also. There's a lot of Chris and...
Chris, it's all connected. And we don't even connected. Do this on person. It just happens to the universe. I don't know what they're trying to do. Anyway...
Yeah.
Stay strong, people.
Resist.
Hopefully everything's going to be okay. We're all going to get through this life together. And thank God we have art.
Thank God for art.
Enjoy this episode, y'all.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Hi, Christian.
Hi. How are you?
You know what? We're doing it. We're doing the thing. It's hot summertime. We're here. We're happy to have you. We can't wait to chat with you.
Yeah.
We're surviving. We're surviving, right, Jay?
Well, we're trying. If you guys hear my voice, I sound terrible, but we're trying. You know what, Jason? The show must go on, and I'm proud of you for showing up.
Of course.
I like it. I like it. I think it's a vibe.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm channeling my inner, like, Fantasia. Like somebody with a happy voice.
Yeah. A little bit of that Macy Gray. A little bit of Macy Gray.
Macy Gray. Yeah. Yeah. That's I try to say goodbye and not choke.
I choke.
Whoa.
I walk away and I stumble.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
So thank you for joining us. We know you're on tour with a super busy schedule. So carving out some time is major.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Yeah, it's a very busy schedule, but this is going to be fun. So let's do it.
And you guys are in LA right now, right?
Yeah, we're in Los Angeles. It's incredibly sunny, like every day. I'm not rubbing it in. I'm just very happy that, yeah, this is the weather and this is what it is. We're at the Dolby Theater as well, too. So where they host the Oscars. So
amazing.
Cool.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, we're Pretty Woman is set.
Exactly, yeah. So like, you know, when the first words of Welcome to Hollywood are spoken, it like it just hits different being in Hollywood, you know.
Wow, that's dope.
Really cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So let's just jump right in and talk about what we're here.
Huh? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's
survival
do it.
Survival jobs.
I have the first one. So do you have a survival job? This sounds really bad. Samantha, you take it.
No, you sound good. All right. I'm happy to take it. But you could take it. Take it. You sound fierce.
Okay.
Own it, Macy.
Do you have a, favorite survival job that impacted your career positively?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anyone who knows me knows that I've had about 97 jobs and like that.
Yeah.
97.
I had so many jobs and that is no cap. Like, you know what the young people say, no cap. I had so many jobs. Like I've done everything from, I was a high school choir director for about 4 or 5 years before I started this career and moved into this career. And then from there, like a lot of the other survival jobs came into place, bartender, caterer, a dog walker, wedding singer, I mean, tutor, voice teacher, guitar teacher. There's so many different things just to kind of, you know, make a little bit of extra money. But I would say probably the first job that I ever had was as a caddy. And that taught me so much. Yeah, yeah. Like I had like a wildlife. But yeah, my first job was as a caddy when I was 11 years old. It taught me a lot of things. It taught me just like professionalism and empathy. For one, like when you get that job, you meet so many different people. Like there's like 100 caddies who all file into this big caddy shack and we're just talking and telling stories. And that particular country club that I was working at, there was like no background check. So people like very colorful backgrounds were working there. And I heard some of the most amazing and intriguing stories. And, you know, these people that I might have possibly judged, I like had empathy for, and empathy started to grow. And I just wanted to hear the stories, which goes into acting of like not judging your character, but just like asking yourself the question, like under what circumstances would I, you know, behave and act in that type of way. And I just thought it was really cool. And then like the people's mannerisms and the way they would walk in, I'm like, oh my God, that's like, that's good. I could use that for like one of my roles or one of my characters, you know? So and then like the attention to detail that you need when you're a caddy is another thing that I think is important. Like you have to know like the wind direction and like the distance to the front of the pin and the middle of the green and the back of the green and like the undulation of the slope and like all these things that kind of set yourself apart. So like I took that attention to detail and put that into like the singing and the acting and that whole world. So I could go down a rabbit hole with a lot of these different jobs, but that's just one that comes to mind.
That's amazing. So can
I was 11 when I started working there. Yeah.
Wait. What? It's kind of legal.
Wait, I was like, wait, is that legal? Okay. Cut it. Guys, don't tell on the golf club.
Even though we already said it, it's okay.
Don't tell anyone. Okay, so that's something that you can look back and say like, hey, that's super great and it helped me be where I am. But do you have a bad survival job story, something that you're like, that was shocking, and I can never do that again. Blacklisted, never going back.
Oh, man. I've had so many different jobs. I would say none of them were, like, awful, but I've had some where I was like, yeah, this will be my last day, you know? This will be my last day, like, when it comes to, like, when it comes to pay, and when it comes to that type of thing. Because, you know, if you live in New York City, you need to have a livable wage. You know, you got this thing called rent and you got all these expenses that just come out of nowhere. And so I was like, I'm not getting paid the money that I should get paid. And just standing up for yourself and asking for what you need. And if they're not willing to do that, then, you know, just going someplace else where you're going to be valued and appreciated. I feel like that was one of the first and like the quickest lessons I learned when I moved to New York City. And I moved to New York City actually later. I moved to New York City when I was 28, actually. So I taught for about 5 years and I lived abroad in Hong Kong. And then I came back to the States. And then that's when I started to, you know, hit the pavement and really, really like audition and find representation. And it's been a long road, but I'm so grateful. I don't regret any of the experiences that I've had, even if they've been like negative in any sense of the word.
That's a really beautiful way to look at it, because every experience we have, you know, sort of shapes us and informs like future decisions and future jobs and future gigs, all of it. So instead of looking back on something, you mean like, actually F that, I'm never doing that again. And you're like, okay. It's so hard to do when you have like a shitty experience, excuse me, to be like, okay, I can look at this and like take the lessons I learned instead of like being so negative about it. It's hard to do, guys. It's not easy.
No, it's not. It's not, you know, and especially too, I have friends who are like enablers. They're like, oh, what did they say to you? You know what I mean? They're like, you know, they're like they'll add fuel to the fire. And I'm like, yeah, I am mad. You know, I'm going to, you know. So just like finding, once again, just the way to ground yourself and just to tell yourself like, you know, your worth and your value, and just, you know, not entertaining any energy that would try to tell you anything contrary to that.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Jason, how's the voice feeling?
Oh man, it's happening. Something's happening.
Okay. All right. You're good. I just didn't know if you wanted to jump in. Tweaks.
So we did a little bit of research and found out that she grew up in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Singing in the church, Salem Baptist Church.
Wow. Yeah. That's it. That's a church.
Can you share how old you were when you started singing and when you found out that you wanted to pursue this professionally?
Wow. Yeah, I was just thinking about this. I was talking to my mother about this this morning, as a matter of fact, because she just came from Salem. So it's been a church that I've been going to. Yeah, shout out to mom.
Shout out to your mom.
Looking beautiful as ever, you know? Yes, so that's the queen. That's the queen. And so I was just talking to her about Salem, and like she just came from church. And that was where I got my start in like music and singing and playing instruments. I played drums. I was a little drummer boy right before I had my first solo, and had my bow tie and my dress shirt and everything. Got the pictures and everything. But then, I think it wasn't until I was 16, actually, that I discovered that I could sing. I always wanted to be able to sing, and I couldn't really sing that well. And people are like, that's not true. I was like, no, I really couldn't. So back when I was in fifth grade, there was a talent show. And there was this girl that was in my class that I was like in love with. I was like, man, if I could just sing, if I could just get up there and just sing this song, she'll fall in love with me. And it's just going to be, everything's going to be great. And so there was an artist named Tyrese who was like really popular at the time. Man, I'm really showing my age right now.
We know Tyrese. We know Baby Boy.
I love his music.
I don't know Tyrese.
You don't know Tyrese?
Come on, Sweet Lady.
I'm sorry. Lady.
That was the song.
Sing a little bit.
Oh God. Oh my God.
He's like, it's Sweet earlier lady, and I'll like, yes.
Won't you be mine? Sweet love for a lifetime. I'll be there. Yeah, it's a fun
song. Did she fall in love with you? Because maybe I just did.
Well, the thing is that I did not sing it the way I sung it just now. And I was really convinced I was singing the song. I was committed to it. And then I looked right at her, and then she was just like, and then just looked away. And I was just heartbroken. No. Yeah. So I was like, man, what's going on? And so from there, I really didn't want to sing. I got a couple solos at my church, and I was just like, no, I don't want to do it. And then it wasn't until like 10th grade that like my choir director, he convinced me to sing at my church, and I sang the song called I Need You Now. And then like everyone went crazy, and I thought they were like pranking me. I was like, there's no way they enjoy this. And that was the moment where I really started to like develop confidence in my voice And then I started taking voice lessons. I took a voice class at my school. And then my voice teacher was like, have you considered majoring in music? You could major in music at college. I was like, oh, I didn't even think of that. I was going to go to the school for business finance. And then that's where everything started to take off. And like the church is really what like gave me the confidence to sing in front of a lot of people. If it wasn't for church and like their encouragement, then I don't think that I would be doing this right now.
I love that so much.
That's so good. Shout out to the girl, though. Shout out to that girl from sixth grade. What grade?
Yeah. Mom. Shout out to her. Yeah. Shout out to her because she was like, you know what? You know, you got some work. I came back. I came back stronger.
That's so good.
You showed her.
Yeah, you showed her.
Exactly. Yeah.
Shout out to you, girlfriend. So I want to talk about how you did perform all over Asia on cruise lines, playing Scar in Disney Hong Kong as well. Can you share what the experience is like to travel, to have the opportunity to travel and perform, especially perform something so iconic and well known as Lion King?
Yeah. I would say it was so eye-opening for me because when I was a teacher, I knew like, you know, what my future was going to look like in 10 years time, where I was going to be, what I was going to be making and all that type of stuff. I could kind of see it. I could see it very, very clearly. And forgive me, but that's for me. I kind of like the things that are like not set in stone or like things that are not like I like the uncertainty of being an actor. I don't know. So like, I was like, you know what? This is a scary thing to do, to quit my job and to go after something that I know that I really am supposed to be doing. And when I quit my job, I just had so much peace in a really, really weird way. I was like, because I knew this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I traveled and I was just like, wow, like if I hadn't done this, I wouldn't be here right now. So I'm here in Hong Kong and I'm performing. And that role was just so much fun, like to play Scar for like so many people. On a daily basis to scare them, but then also at the same time, like, because I'm a villain, you know what I mean? But also at the same time.
To Scar like, is scary, by the way. Scar. Especially Scar live. Like, no.
He's so iconic.
He's so iconic. I saw Lion King. Sorry to totally interrupt your thought. I went and saw Lion King when Broadway was coming back. Mm-hmm. I was legit scared. I'm like, this is not a joke. I don't know. Yeah. This is not for kids. I'm scared at 31 years old. Okay.
Yeah. Scar, he says what he means. He means what he says. Like Scar is just, you know, and the hyenas get behind him. Go ahead.
Yes.
The hyenas get behind him.
Yeah.
Can we also say he's like a queer, like coded icon for Pride Month?
Uh-huh.
We'll say.
Yes.
So shout out to that.
Yes. Uh-huh. For sure. It's just like it's so great. And I think that like Scar is a character that is misunderstood. We just think of him as being mean and but you know, Scar just wants to be loved. Scar needs love and understanding from the people surrounded by him. So that's one thing that I learned. It's just it comes back to empathy. It just comes back to just like just hearing people's stories and not being so quick to just judge or label just hearing them out.
That's okay, amazing. Not judging your character. Good job.
I love that. So we're going kind of out of order here, but I want to take it back when you were talking about that I moved to New York, getting representation, doing all that. So can you talk a little bit about what that process was like? You know, I don't want to say like 28 is a leader, but like compared to like these kids coming straight from college, like going in hard. If you could just break that down a little, our listeners would be appreciative. And so would we.
I want to just speak to that, you know, because I think that there's this stigma or this feeling that if you don't start auditioning, hit the ground running at a certain age when you're younger in college, right out of college, then like you're missing and you're losing time. But, you know, I know that I was listening to, I think, an interview with Samuel Jackson, and he was doing a play on Broadway with Denzel Washington. And Denzel Washington booked St. Elsewhere, and then someone else from that same play booked something else. And so he's like, man, what's going on? Like, you know, they're booking all these things, and what's going on with me? And it's like the realization that you're in the right place, but it's just not your time just yet. And that's okay. Yes. Just taking the time to build up your skill set and to take class and to be proactive, even in the midst of maybe you not getting the auditions that you want, or maybe not having the representations, being proactive, like what Billy Porter was talking about, setting up plays in his living room. I think that is like just absolutely, absolutely genius. So like, it started off even before I did Lion King. So like, that was like my first audition. And I remember I would come up, I would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning in Philadelphia. I was still living in Philly. And then I would like catch, drive the car to the train station, catch the regional rail to get down to 30th Street Station to catch a 5 a.m. or 5:30 bus up to New York to sign my name up on an unofficial list by 7:30 to be first on the list, just to hope to be seen.
To hope, yeah. Literally, and cross your fingers to be seen.
Yeah, just the hope to be seen. And a lot of times that wouldn't even happen. A lot of times you wouldn't even be seen. Wow. Or the list would be flipped and then your name was first is now last, and like no, that my name is at the front, those types of things, and like a lot of things that are outside of your control. But just trusting that, like, you know, the more that you do it and the more that you speak to yourself and manifest it in a way where like, this is a sure thing, this is what I've set myself on doing, it's going to happen. So like, you know, before you knew it, I got a good audition, and I booked the USO, the show troupe. And from there, I was able just to meet so many, many great people who connected me with opportunities to be seen before agents and managers. And before you know it, I was able to get a manager, and then things started to hit the ground running. So, yeah, yeah. So I would just say, just, you know, anyone who's out there who is looking for representation or feels like they're just kind of like stuck, just do not give up. Do not give up. We are our own best advocates. So whatever you need to do in the morning to ground yourself or to tell yourself who you are, just do not give up. You know, if it's what you want to do, it's written in the stars for you. Do it.
That's so beautiful. Also, major shout out to you. Like, even living in the city, I couldn't get up in time to go to those open calls to put my name on the list. And you were straight up coming from Philly. Like, that is... That's beautiful.
Yeah, just bring that energy of like, I'm going to be seen, damn it. I woke up at 3 a.m. See me, you know, so it's like.
Yeah, and how tough, like it's such a crazy business we're in, because you wake up so early. Now you're so tired. Then if you're non-ac and you're on the list, you're not going to get seen until the end of the day. So now you're up from 3 a.m. You're not going to get seen until close to 5. And then you need to be like awake and give your best performance. And like, it's tough. But you know what? That's the business, baby.
That's the business. Yeah. So we signed up for it, literally.
Unfortunately.
Not a name.
Well, let's talk about Pretty Woman.
Okay.
You're currently on the national tour. And Happy Man. Can you share what the audition was like for that? How'd that come to you? Because it came during the pandemic, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's funny, like I was just talking about Salem Baptist Church and like that full circle moment. For one, finding my agent at Salem Baptist Church, singing for one of my best friend's weddings, Tamar Green, who's playing George Washington in Hamilton, and Lindsay Roberts, who's in Phantom of the Opera. I sung for the wedding, and I met their agent, and we just like, you know, struck up a really, really great conversation and a great relationship, and then I was able to be represented by them, and then there was an audition that was sent my way, and I sent in my information and my songs and my dances over to Pretty Woman Casting. And then I got a call back while I was actually at church, singing at church. And it was like the next day, final call back. And I came in and I was so nervous. I was, you know, because as much as you prepare, it's just like, ooh, it's Jerry Mitchell right there. Yeah. You know, like he's in the room. It's just your nerves can sometimes get the best of you, but I just reminded myself that I'm here for a reason, you know, like they selected me for a reason. They want to see me and they want to see me succeed, you know? And, so I just came into the room and I sung my song, and, full circle moment about singing my song. As a matter of fact, my grandfather had passed away about 3 or 4 months prior to that. And I dedicated a song to him, and the song that I dedicated to my grandfather was the song that I decided to sing for the final callback. And I just felt like I felt his presence in the room, and it just felt so strong and tangible. So by the time I ended the song, I was just, you know, and it was a really, really beautiful moment. So like from that moment, I realized that whether I booked the show or not, I just gave what I could give in that moment. And I was just there for that. And the very, very next day, I got a call from my agent, and he was like, are you sitting down? and then shared the news, and I ran out of my apartment. I was like running down the street and I was screaming, and because it's just like we worked so hard for this, you know, and like I just thought back in that moment to those waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just like hoping to be seen to like finally getting that opportunity to do something like this, you know. So there were a lot of tears,
yeah,
a lot of screaming and a lot of crying and laughing and everything.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And also I want to say, love how we're sort of like tying everything back into church.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it all began. And then it's all connected.
Foundation, baby.
Yeah. Foundation. I want to talk about being an understudy. So we've had a lot of guests on that are understudy, standby, swings, etc. But we think that, you know, we feel like a lot of people don't understand what that means, right? So can you describe a little bit about what that means for our listeners and what the rehearsal process is like for an understudy? And then also, do you perform in the ensemble when you're not covering a role?
Exactly. Yeah. So like my role is David Morse. And so for my role, I have understudies who would go on for me if I don't perform. And so that's my day-to-day 8-show-a-week role. But then in the event that one of the principals, Happy Man or Alfredo, were to call out sick or whatever, for whatever reason it is, I would have to step in at a moment's notice. You know, sometimes that could be like 2 hours before the show. Sometimes they might let you know the night before and you just have to be ready to go, you know, and just do it, go on stage and perform and just trust that everything that you know, everything that you've rehearsed, everything that you've prepared, it's just going to come out and it's going to be beautiful.
It's in your body.
It's in your body. Yeah, that is just, it's in your body and you're ready to go. So the rehearsal process for that is great. We will rehearse during the day, you know, however much time we need, you know, you just like, you know, you can request it or they schedule it, they put it into the schedule. But yeah, we'll rehearse and rehearse with some of the other understudies as well too. And just to get like that practice. And then eventually once we've practiced enough, then we'll have a put in with the entire cast and the lighting and the costumes and everything that. And then from there we, you know, go on stage and we do our thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting.
That is exciting. I also love how like you're an understudy, but then you also have understudies. It's just like, everybody's got to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got to be prepared because you never know.
Yeah.
What's the shortest notice that you've received on tour being like, oh, you have to go on for this role?
This is actually my first tour and I have not gone on for Happy Man or Alfredo just yet, but it's coming up. I'm coming up soon. But what I've observed, I mean, like this sometimes, you know, 2 hours before, you know, somebody, you know, and it's just like, it's the deep breath. It's the, okay, let's do it.
We're doing it. We're doing it.
I can never do that. I can never.
Yes, you like, could, Jay.
I don't know. That's too much. That's too much pressure. I think anxiety just listening.
Yeah. And then the swings too. Shout out to the swings as well too. You know,
who just have
so much to know that someone might know like 7 or 8 tracks and, you know, somebody can't continue with the show. They'll step in the time of the second act to resume, or they might split track. Or they might do like one role for like the first act and another role for the second act, or you know, so they, you know, it's like, it's a superpower. It's a superpower to do that.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
So the tour has been all over the East Coast and, you know, again, to perform in all these incredible theaters. You're currently in LA till July 3rd. We saw a picture of opening night, how incredible that was. What's been your favorite city? And what's the city you're most looking forward to for the next part of the tour?
Yeah, yeah. For me, there were a bunch of like moments. Like my first city that I did my debut was like Charlotte. And like I have family in North Carolina and it's just something in the water. Like the audience was just so receptive and just like so loving and appreciative of what we were doing and what we were giving on stage. And then that was just my debut city. So I think it was just like super emotional for me, like the first time, like set stage on like a Broadway stage. I loved Charlotte. I loved the food. I love the music. I love the first day that we were there was a John Mayer concert and like everyone was just, it was just electric, electric. Me too. I loved Hartford, Connecticut. Hartford, Connecticut was a lot of fun. Shout out to Connecticut.
Woo-hoo!
that was a great time. The home state, yeah. And my family got a chance to come out and see me there. And then, course, yeah. That was a surprise. It was a really, really nice surprise. And then I would also say Los Angeles as well, too. Los Angeles, where I'm at right now. Just like with it being so sunny, performing at the Dolby, and just like you're bringing to life the things that we talk about on stage. We imagine they can go outside and actually see it. You know, it's like this is Los Angeles. This is Hollywood. Yeah. So yeah, the culture, the music here as well too. And like we're still here for like another week or so. So can't wait to experience more of that. We're having so much fun.
Yeah, I love LA. Have you hiked Runyon?
Yeah, like I have.
Yeah.
I know. Going to the Griffith and like Getty Center and like hiking to the Hollywood sign. Yeah, they said just don't do it at night though. You know, so don't hike at night.
Scorpions and coyotes.
Yeah.
Let me tell you,
they glow in the dark. You said
the scorpions. Yeah, my friend was
hell no.
I was there. He's like, let's do a night hike, and I was like, okay, and then I googled it and I'm like, okay, no thank you.
You're like, I'm good on the scorpions. Totally hold the good. Scorpions
black hold people don't be hiking at night, sorry.
No, we don't do that. No mountain lions, no coyotes. Nope. You know the, you have me.
No. I started having like a little panic last time I did Runyon, like last month I was there. I was like, are mountain lions here, or like are there creatures gonna come get me?
Probably.
Yeah.
Scary. So scary. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So you've manifested, you know, things to happen. You've worked hard. You've been up at 3 a.m. You've been hitting the ground running, and now you've landed at this great gig. For the future, do you have a dream job, a dream collaboration, someone you're like, I have to work with this person? What is in the future for you in dreamland?
Yeah. I'm always dreaming. I'm always just like thinking like, what about this? Or like, what about this? And like, I think my mom, she's just taught me just to stay curious, you know, like curiosity is just like something that I've always like just wanted. I kept at the top of my list. So I would say like for acting, like I've always loved Jeffrey Wright as an actor. I've always loved like Jonathan. He's incredible. Yeah, I love Jonathan Majors, who I've been like lucky enough to meet and like talk to. I just love the work that he. Yeah. We auditioned together 1 year for school, as a matter of fact. And like I like, he's just an awesome person.
I love him.
Lovecraft Country, right? What a great show. So like, just to be able to work with like people like them would be like a dream in television and film. Also like, you know, on the Broadway stage, there's so many shows that are out right now and shows that are in the works that I would love to be a part of on the Broadway stage. And then also in music as well too. Like there's so many great musicians. Like I'm like my idol, like I love Pharrell Williams. Like to one day to be able just to be on a track with Pharrell or people like him. Yeah, let's manifest it. Let's manifest it right now. Yeah. That would be awesome.
I love that for you.
Thank you. Or maybe Tyrese.
Yes.
Bringing it all back. You keep circling back. Bringing it back to the beginning, baby.
I found some videos of you singing Get Lucky. And I was like, yes, you're
killing it. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Wow. I'm a sleuth.
Research.
I'm a sleuth.
Yeah, we do. We know what we're doing when we come in, you know?
Yeah.
He's another vibe.
That was back during the wedding singer days. And I still sing for weddings and stuff like that in New York City. But that's like right when I kind of got my start. And doing that, and like that just kind of gave me that performance itch. I'm like, oh my God, this is fun, you know? And seeing like, you know, what you're able to give to the audience and how they respond back to it. And just like by the end of the night, they're just like, like I never had this much fun in years. I want to keep dancing. You see people come up off them hills and you know, that's fun.
Yeah, that's so good.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, got it. I got you. So we're going to wrap up soon. We have one more fun question, and then I don't know if we gave you a heads up, but you're a listener, so maybe you know, we always like to end the show with a game just to keep it back to light and fun times. Sometimes we get deep, you know, because we have to, but we like to keep it light. And we always like to bring it back to survival jobs. So on season one of Survival Jobs, we had a guest say that if he wasn't able to be artistic anymore or have any sort of career in the arts, he could go back to being a career server. And he genuinely feels like he could be happy doing that. Yeah. Is there a survival job, whatever a survival job means to you, that you could go back to and say, hey, like, I could do this and I'm good.
This well, you know, if, me. Yeah, if I could not perform on stage or like acting behind camera or sing, I would love to be a paleontologist or like a zoologist. I've always loved dinosaurs. Like I would draw dinosaurs when I was little, like velociraptors and brachiosauruses. I was just obsessed with like all of that. So like just to be able to discover like dinosaur fossils and like to think about like, you know, when in history that was. And like, I just think that would be really, really cool. And then on top of that, I just love animals too. So like anything David Attenborough, like at the end, at night, I go crazy. I'm looking at the screen, like, you know, like I'm so excited about animals. Yeah. The Amazon rainforest and like jaguars and tigers and like that really, really gets me excited. Like animals. Period. So if I could not perform, which would be a sad day, really sad day, I would love to do that. That would definitely bring me like so much.
You could sing with the mountain lions and the coyotes.
Hey,
you know what? Not that, but
and the scorpions. That's a first. That's a first time we've gotten that answer. So congrats.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yes.
Survival jobs history.
That's cool.
Yeah, you're amazing. And you speak with such wisdom and your advice and your experiences, I think, are so beneficial to our listeners. So thank you for sharing everything you shared with us today.
Thank you. You're awesome. Thank you for having me.
I hope when you're back in New York, we can all hang out in real life.
I would love that.
Yeah, we would love it. We love it. Because, you know, we spend time with our guests and then Jason and I also get so inspired and we're like, we need to meet these people in real life. With that same enthusiasm.
I get that high pitch. No, but it's like, you see people and you see what they're doing. You admire them so much. You're like, oh my gosh, I want to be like that. You know, I want to be like you. So.
You know, honestly, like that's what like inspired me to do what I do is like looking up to people, you know, when I was younger who like did exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm like, oh, this is possible. I can actually do this. Like, you know, seeing people perform on stage or like, you know, drop an album and like see them perform at their album release party. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, how'd you do this? Just asking them questions and like, you know, getting a peek into like behind the curtain as to like, you know, what causes all this to happen. You know, and seeing like how excited they are about it makes me excited.
That's so cool.
Love that.
So, as we said, we love to end the show with a game. And since you are from Philly, we're going to play a game called Home State Heroes. And can you tell us which of these celebs were born in Pennsylvania?
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It's going to be true or false.
Okay.
True or false?
Pressure. All right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Some guests get really competitive, so if you need to take a minute to get ready, that's fine. Bring it in.
All right.
Okay, true or false? Was this celebrity born in Pennsylvania? Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Correct. She was born in West Reading? Is this how you say it? Reading.
West Reading.
How embarrassing.
It looks like Reading.
It's like Reading.
It looks like Reading. But that's silly because we have a Reading, Connecticut, so you would think I would know.
I don't think it's, I think it's spelled R-E-D-D-I-N-G.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Jason.
Okay, true or false? Bruno Mars.
False.
You're right. Hawaii, Honolulu.
Yes. I love Bruno Mars. I want to see him so bad. That residency.
Oh my gosh. I had friends go see him and they were like dying. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. True or false? Richard Gere.
Oh, that's true.
Yes, baby. Philly.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. That would not be good. I'm in Pretty Woman.
That's what I was going to say. Bring it all back. Richard Gere's from? Uh-huh. We keep tying everything. Everything is connecting and circling back in this episode. I love it.
Pink, the singer.
Oh, true.
Yep. She's from Doylestown.
Doylestown, yeah. And I love Pink's music. Pink is a powerhouse.
You're killing it. Okay.
Yes, next. 4 for 4. Let's go.
4 for 4. Next, Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. Oh my God. That's going to be false.
Correct. She was born in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Smart.
Got that Southern charm. That Southern charm.
Yeah.
Will Smith.
Oh, yeah. Philadelphia. True.
Yes.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Next, Christina Aguilera.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to say false.
Correct. Are you saying it? She was born in Staten Island.
Okay.
Yeah, grew up in Wexford.
Yeah, kind of close to Philadelphia, but I wasn't. Yeah, I'm happy I said false.
Wow, you are killing it.
Oh.
Thank you.
Heather Headley.
Heather Headley. Oh, man. Heather Headley, true, from the Philadelphia area.
False.
Trinidad
and Tobago.
No.
It's all right. You were
ruined.
It's okay. You still have time to keep it going. Okay, true or false? Jill Scott.
Jill Scott from Philadelphia.
True. Boom.
Yes.
Correct.
Tina Fey.
Tina Fey from Philadelphia. True.
Boom. Yep.
Upper Darby.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And last but not least, Adam Pascal.
Okay. Adam Pascal, false.
Correct.
Yes.
He's from the Bronx.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Honestly, all right.
That was like...
Not bad.
No, like, not to throw shade at our other guys, but that's been one of the best games we've had in a while.
Yes. I'm happy. Wow. I'm happy I can do it justice.
Yes,
man,
good job.
Pressure, man. Am I sweating a little bit?
I mean, I was sweating before. I mean, it's warm. Something happened that made me sweat. I can't remember. This forehead is shiny from this ring light. Christian, so thank you so much. This was amazing.
Yes.
You are
I had a great
so
time.
Cool. Oh, good.
Thank you.
So
thanks
much.
For the opportunity.
Of course, we're so happy to have you on. And again, we are always so appreciative when people choose to spend time with us. So thank you. Let us know.
You.
Can you tell everyone where the tour is going next after LA?
Yeah, for sure.
And you're on tour through September 2023?
Uh-huh. Yeah. We're gonna continue to go. So we're here in Los Angeles until July 3rd. And then we go to Costa Mesa. We're in Costa Mesa for 2 weeks. So come and see us there. We'll also be in Tucson, Arizona. And Yeah. So I can't wait. We're going to have so much fun out there. So if you're in that area, then come on through.
Colorado.
Show some love. Colorado, Denver. Yeah, Denver, Colorado, Oklahoma City, Tulsa.
Wow.
Yeah. We have some really, really great stops coming up.
We'll put the link in our show notes.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And can you tell us where people can find you if they're fans of you now?
Oh, sure.
Support you, follow you.
Yeah. You can follow me at Christian Brailsford on Instagram. And, you know, show some support by coming on out to Pretty Woman as well, too.
Yes. And if you're tuning in because you're a Christian fan, as you should be, and this is your first time checking us out, please follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Survival Jobs Pod. Shoot us an email at survivaljobsapodcast@gmail.com. Follow Jason. Sorry, Jason, you were giving me hints.
It's
going to be here. I'm like, are you telling me to say something different? Because I'm not following. shoot us an email. Let us know if you want anyone to come on the show. We can try to get them. Follow Jason at Jason A. Coombs on all of the things. And I am Sammy Toots. And follow Christian and listen to the voice thing because, wow, the notes, the tone, the voice, it's velvet.
You're amazing.
Those vocals, baby.
You have to come back when I have a full voice.
I would love to come back. Yes. I would love to come back on again, and we got to hang out in New York as well, too.
Yeah, hit us up when you're around, and we would love to meet you.
We would love
to meet you IRL. I hate when I do that. How stupid. It's so dumb, but I do it anyway.
It's great. All right, have a great
day,
everybody.
Christian.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.